Hello and welcome to the Aviation Reporter, your podcast about everything related to airports, airlines, and the aviation industry. In this episode, in collaboration with EMA Systems, we have with us Tania Nyland, a hydrogen techno IPT leader at Airbus. She's in a conversation with Jean-Luc Devisha, so let's give the floor to them.
My name is Tania Neuland, and I'm working in the R&D area of Airbus, and I'm responsible for hydrogen, I would say, beyond COE, so really looking into the 10 to 20 years future for hydrogen.
Thank you very much for this this short introduction. Of course, you already kind of introduced the subject. You're looking into the hydrogen solutions at Airbus. Can you explain us a bit more what it really means?
Sustainable aviation not only started with hydrogen, so from my point of view. So Airbus already took first steps for the zero emission aircraft. So looking on the for our A320neo for the optimized aerodynamics. So we already did there a lot for the checklist. So really to decrease the CO2 emission, and also in terms of noise and NOx reduction. So we had 75% reduction in noise level and minus 50% in reduction of NOx. So I think it's really, really important to say that the future of sustainable aviation not started now, it started already years ago. So that's for us really important. And also in terms of fuel burn, so comparing, I would say, the younger generation of Airbus aircraft family, and I would say the older one, you had a fuel improvement of 20% per seat. So it's really for me the start I would like to mention. And in terms of, you asked me in terms of hydrogen, I would like to start then when we speak about hydrogen as a first step with SAF. So also SAF is for us an important bridge technologies we would like to take into account. So for short and medium term solution, it's really a good opportunity to have a CO2 reduction for our single-aisle fleet and also for regional aircraft. So, and there we have some, I would say, activities ongoing. We would like to certify the use of SAF on board of aircraft up to 100%, and that is planned for 2030. And also that we have the CO2 emissions we reduce by 85% over the entire life cycle. So, and all in all, so that step by step, we really having more and more flights going with SAF and having the, I would say, emissions decrease. And now coming to the hydrogen topic and for what we are doing with hydrogen. On one hand, we have the hydrogen storage, which is different to our conventional aircraft. So due to, I would say, the specifica of hydrogen, where you have fortunately less weight, but unfortunately more volumes, you also need to change where you store the hydrogen. We will have a different kind of place where we store the hydrogen, probably the back arm of the aircraft, so where we have then the hydrogen storage for the liquid hydrogen. Then we would look for hydrogen for two kinds of propulsion. So one would be to have the gas power turbines, which then burning hydrogen, or on the other hand, you have fuel cells where you have the reaction between oxygen and hydrogen and then generating power, and then in the end we need to power the gas turbine with the volume and I would say the weight. So that's a challenge where we're working on, and we, I would say, really take benefit that we have our colleagues in defense and space, which already had experience I would say for hydrogen and tanks. There are some difference from aviation to space. So space, normally you have to put that one time into the, I would say, orbit. It has to be really bulletproofed, and then it comes back for the aviation, you have to do it many times. You have different, I would say, pressure. You have different temperature. So if you're flying to Alaska or you're flying to the Middle East. So, and that, I would say, we need to adapt. So we're looking for liquid hydrogen as a first step, as metal for the baseline for the tank. But we also knowing that in terms of aircraft efficiency, we have then in the future, we have to take more steps and looking also on different materials. So there is a different material. We're looking, for example, for composite to take benefit for the lighter structural weight. And also in terms of production, composite has some benefits. It's, you can to have automated production. It's more integrated. In the end, also for us as our OEM, more cost efficient. So on the other hand, there you have to deal with the challenge of tightness of the CFRP, so outgassing, permeability. On the that is on the other hand, the challenges we have to take into account if we're looking on different materials.
You started out as saying kind of you're looking into different solutions, and hydrogen is one of them. Is hydrogen the solution Airbus will take for the long term, or how do you see that yourself evolving?
For us, sustainable aviation, the fuel we are looking on. So in that different parts of hydrogen burn and using hydrogen free fuel cells. So, but in addition, we also looking on our, I would say, current fleet where we can improve and make them better. So because it will be, in, I would say, in parallel. So we have not by one time all aircraft flying zero emission only with hydrogen. We're looking on the future and really the zero emission future. And on the other hand, improving our current aircrafts and supporting the airlines.
You're looking into different solutions to see which one fits best. And I mean, hydrogen is one of them, besides, of course, other elements which you're testing. My other question was more related to what's happening on the ground. So I don't know. I mean, your key topic, of course, is hydrogen. Mm-hmm. And Airbus, of course, I mean, everybody knows that most of the CO2 emissions are when planes are flying. And so this is where you stand to get the best benefit. But of course, a lot of emissions also happen when the plane has landed and on the ground. Is it also something where Airbus has taken a specific role in to see how it can kind of decrease also emissions once the plane is on the ground? Is it also something you're looking into?
I probably would answer it a little bit differently. So yes, we are an aircraft OEM, so we want to focus on the aircraft. So in terms of hydrogen, we're looking on the aircraft and the infrastructure around surrounding. So what I said, if you have a nice new car and you have no possibility to fuel it, so you cannot drive with it. So which happened with the electric car in the beginning. So where you had really to search where's the next fueling station for electrical power. So in addition to the aircraft design for hydrogen, we're also looking on the infrastructure and supporting, I would say, local initiative to bring that forward. So that when, we say, the aircraft is ready, also the infrastructure is on a certain level so that you can fly from A to B. So, and you might have heard about the IPCEI project, so important project of European interest, where also the infrastructure for hydrogen is really locally supported. So we have here in Hamburg a certain setup where really that is supporting how we get, for example, in Hamburg, hydrogen to the plant, and also other users of hydrogen can participate of that. So that is also one thing. So that we have the availability and the, I would say, infrastructure for hydrogen.
So the full picture.
Yeah, the full picture. And in addition, it's also for Airbus important that we have a sustainable production. So if we develop a sustainable aircraft, have the infrastructure, it's also important that our production bit by bit going to a sustainable way so that we not have a nice aircraft, but not having, I would say, a sustainable production that would for Airbus not fit together.
Yeah, so you really look into the entire value chain, yeah, including all the partners from infrastructure to suppliers of the...
Yeah, what we normally say, so that's a huge task, not only for us, it's for the society. So that's why we also need to have the political side on our, I would say, on for the support, because to have more infrastructure to change airports, that is, I would say, really a huge task to do. For example, only looking on Germany or then wider for Europe.
Yeah, and infrastructure, you mean having the storage space at the airports and having the infrastructure set up. So meaning enough capacity and spacing to put up that new infrastructure.
Yeah, and the availability. So for example, when Hamburg as an airport would switch to hydrogen, they need to have a certain amount of hydrogen available. And you already see it with SAF, which fortunately now increasing of the availability. But when once some of the airlines would say, we would like to, fly 60 or 70% with SAF, then in terms of availability, it would be really a challenge for the SAF provider. So when we already say in 10, I would say a little bit more than 10 years from now, we have we expect our entry into service for the first hydrogen airplane, then we need to be ready.
Well, of course, you say it. I mean, everybody needs to be ready. You made a reference to electric cars. What you see in electric cars at the beginning, you had kind of hybrid models, which could kind of deal with both kind of both electric at the start, and then of course using old-fashioned gasoline, if I can say so. Do you see that mixed model as well, or will you go directly for the full-blown?
So I would say it's more that we're looking on hydrogen and SAF. So that's saying for this commuter range, we really would like to push for the zero emission solution. And saying then, and that is like from a, I would say, aviation point of view or Airbus point of view, this hybrid model, then we have the bridge technology for the short and longer range.
If you need to kind of indicate what you see as main trends going forward, I mean, let's say we're talking about 2050, which is, of course, already beyond your 2030 target. Where do you think most of the planes will be getting their power from? You mentioned some technologies. Of course, you're already, I mean, I see the marketing reports from Airbus, which already kind of cover a 30-year period. If we look into the 2050 range, we need to look at it from a long-term perspective. We are now looking into 2030. What will go beyond? What is Airbus thinking that will power the planes into 30, 40 years from now? Is there already kind of a long-term thinking? And I do think you have that because you're always looking forward quite long time.
Right? Yeah, for sure. There are some, I would say, technology we are looking on. Some of them, I would say, I cannot go so in detail. I would be happy, so if I'm personally speaking, that I would see already a bunch of airlines already flying aircrafts which have zero emission, and bit by bit starting, I would say, changing their old fleet. And in terms of, I would say, hydrogen technology, that they involve bit by bit so much that we also going to, I would say, the longer ranges for the aircraft, who then can changing from, I would say, kerosene fuel and SAF then bit by bit to zero emission fuels.
That makes sense. So what will happen now is that in the short term, you still have biofuels, which is, let's say, a more friendly solution than kerosene, and then gradually going into the hydrogen power to then kind of go for a more mixed approach in the future.
Mm-hmm. I would say there are also some other colleagues who I would say the most being best expert for IPCA. But for me, IPCA is really the good thing to see that we're starting to get familiar with hydrogen. So to using hydrogen at an aircraft, when I take soccer as an example, it's like playing in the Champions League. So and starting with hydrogen, we should have also some, I would say, more basic knowledge for aviation. So how to use hydrogen on the plant, using hydrogen to power fuel cells to give then heating for the buildings and so on. I think that is one part of IPCA I really like. It's using different kind of use of hydrogen. And then to have this like the heavy duty trucks to get their emission free, which is also a part of Airbus that we transport aviation parts from one plant to another. So to get that emission free and seeing how is it to fuel a heavy truck, to see what difficulties you might have or challenges on your plants, and also see what is about the availability. And then bit by bit, involving yourself and getting more knowledge and to share it. And that is one part of IPCA I also like, that we do it as a consortium, not only Airbus, like you already mentioned that there are others, and also like the harbor in Hamburg. So we also having this partnership thinking in it. So, and what I would like to mention, IPCA is not only in Germany, we have also an IPCA proposal for Spain and also for France. So we really use it on this thinking of Airbus as a team thinking. We are one team and using it transnationally.
So it's really an ecosystem of partnerships you have developed there. Yeah, that's a cool way of thinking. Yeah, because then you have more, let's say, chances of success if you have solid partnerships. And of course, Hamburg is quite well positioned. Eh? It's a good airport. You have the port. You have wind. Yeah. You have lots of availabilities of interesting players as well. So cool.
Thank you very much for your time today, and have a lovely day.
Thank you so much for joining us today. This podcast has been brought to you by EMA Systems. EMA helps airports optimize their ground operations by correlating real-time data through AI, including ACDM. You can visit www.ema.euro to find out more.